KRVS 88.7 FM, Lafayette, Lake Charles.
Major support for Out to Lunch is provided by the law firm of Jones Walker, established in 1937 with over 375 attorneys in offices throughout the U.S., providing a comprehensive range of services to a local, national, and international client base. JonesWalker.com. And by Hancock Whitney, with more than 120 years of experience helping clients protect the financial future they deserve, even in these challenging times. Hancock Whitney, your dream, our mission. And by Shorten Associates, legal recruiters in Louisiana and Texas.
Welcome to this special edition of Out to Lunch Louisiana. I'm Peter Ricchiuti in New Orleans.
I'm Christian Mader in Lafayette.
And in Baton Rouge, I'm Stephanie Regal. Normally, we're the hosts of Out to Lunch in our respective cities, but during the course of the current public health crisis, we're joining forces to bring you a statewide look at what's happening in the world of business and finance.
It might feel like ages, but not so long ago, I was hosting Out to Lunch Acadiana in Lafayette at the French Press. And today, like Peter and Stephanie, I'm social distancing at home, and the French Press is doing curbside takeout. You can get their regular menu items, including a family dinner, delivered through Waiter or Grubhub or directly from the restaurant. 337-233-9449.
In New Orleans, Commander's Palace is closed. You can find out more about their plans to resume pickup and delivery at commanderspalace.com.
In Baton Rouge, the restaurant that normally hosts Out to Lunch, Mansur's on the Boulevard, is open for pickup and delivery. You can order them by calling 225-923-3366. The COVID-19 pandemic has changed so much about our lives, it's hard to think of a part of our life that hasn't been affected. But of all the changes, the biggest casualty other than health is employment. At the time we're having this conversation, the number of unemployed people in the United States is hovering around a staggering 20 million. Although this is a nationwide problem, the stopgap solution to unemployment, the payment of unemployment compensation, is left to the states. Unemployment compensation is structured like insurance. It works on the assumption that only a relatively small number of people will be unemployed at any one time. So when 20 million people suddenly lose their job on the same day, how do states keep funding unemployment insurance and paying compensation? Here in Louisiana, there's a division of the Department of Labor that handles all aspects of unemployment, the Louisiana Workforce Commission. The Assistant Secretary of Unemployment Insurance at the LWC is Robert Woolley. Robert, it's possible that the massive number of people who found themselves out of a job can get rehired just as quickly when things open up. But what happens if it doesn't work that way? What if the economy comes back slowly? How does the state keep paying unemployment benefits to tens of thousands more people than it budgeted for?
Well, that's going to be something that we're going to have to look at. The federal money, though, that has been put up to take care of the 1099 and self-employed folks does last through sometime in late July. So we should have enough funding for that. The problem might come in the state trust fund, which is what employers pay taxes into to cover unemployment for their W-2 employees. We have plenty of money now, but we're paying out in larger and larger amounts each week out of the trust fund. And we have told employers that they will not have to pay this money, which they normally would have to pay back into the system. The governor waived that requirement for them to contribute to employees that of theirs that have taken this benefit.
So, maybe if you could put some numbers to that, and if you don't have the statistics readily available, at least give us an idea of how much time we're talking about. How many months do we have?
Well, I think we would have plenty of months in the trust fund, but at some point we will have to replenish it. But I will tell you, after Katrina, the federal government did come in and help us replenish our trust fund. So we think that'll probably happen again this time. But just to give you some examples of the amounts of money that we're paying out, yesterday we paid $205 million in benefits. To give you a sense of what that number is, all of last year we paid $151 million in unemployment benefits.
And so just to follow up real quick, so that was $205 million for what period? The past week?
For one day.
For one day?
One day. Since the pandemic started, we have paid out $400 million federal dollars in unemployment and approximately $136 million in state dollars in unemployment. And the $400 million really only started on April the 13th, which was last week.
Robert, I know in Louisiana we tend to do things differently in all aspects. Do other states have this same kind of structure, and are we more generous than others?
No, I think we all have a similar structure, but this program is intended as a safety net. It's intended to give a small amount of money to sustain someone while the true goal is reemployment. And most of our resources in our department, as well as other state departments, is geared towards reemployment, either retraining people or helping them to get back into the workforce. And that's what most of the resources in this office and most employment offices around the country are set up to do. So it's really kind of a safety net program that Congress has now turned into a potential stimulus program.
So if the structure of this is something that we think of as a safety net that's contingent upon trying to find new employment, I mean, there's a scenario at the end of this where that's really tough to do. I mean, what does a program like this look like in an environment where you can't readily expect people to find new jobs?
And that's the problem. And I think that's why the federal government stepped in and pumped the money into the CARES Act to help alleviate that problem, because you can't require work searches right now because there's no place to find work. And so the federal government, in anticipation of that, started funding all of these state programs with federal dollars to pay out to people, especially people who normally wouldn't be in the trust fund, which are the W-2 employees. It includes now the people who are self-employed and 1099, which is basically most of our hospitality industry and our restaurant industry. Those were some of the first people that were casualties of this and that are having to seek benefits, but yet they weren't really eligible for these benefits until last week.
Robert, I mean, I think the longer this goes on and you talk about more federal aid perhaps coming to the rescue, it seems to me inevitable that you're going to start to see more political divisions, you know, as they craft these aid packages or solutions, or as our legislature looks to go back in. You know, I know they're already talking about wanting to cut business taxes, and yet that's some of the same money that's needed to fund these government programs that we're all relying on. I mean, I can just see where this would get a lot worse before it gets better. You know the political system here. I mean, what do you think are the viable solutions, you know, for sort of walking that fine line between keeping people, you know, in a sustainable situation without, you know, bankrupting the system or, you know, I don't know. How does this all play out?
Well, as we've seen in the past, unfortunately, here in Louisiana, we've had a lot of unprecedented disasters, starting with Katrina and then the 2016 flood. And what we find out is disasters and the need to pull together sometimes take care of those political differences. As we've seen in Washington, which is about as politically as divisive as I've ever seen in my lifetime, they came together because they needed to help people and realize that the entire economy and the recovery of the economy is going to depend on the solutions that they craft today. And I think that's going to filter down into Louisiana, because we saw it with our state legislature after Katrina. We saw it with our state legislature after the 2016 flood. So I think sometimes when you have these disasters, it dissolves some of the political discord that you normally see.
Well, let's certainly hope you are right about that. Thank you so much for joining us today. Robert Woolley is the Assistant Secretary of Unemployment Insurance at the Louisiana Workforce Commission. Robert, it's been great visiting with you. Thanks for joining us on Out to Lunch Louisiana. Stay safe out there.
Thank you very much, and y'all stay safe too. Thank you.
You're listening to a special edition of Out to Lunch Louisiana with Stephanie Regal in Baton Rouge, Peter Ricchiuti in New Orleans, and I'm Christian Mader here in Lafayette. You know, just a few weeks ago, the idea that we'd all stop our lives on the same day and be stuck in our homes might have seemed like the plot of a dystopian series you'd see on Netflix. But now that's really happening. It's giving us an unimagined opportunity, self-reflection. And when things start back up, do you want to jump back into the same life you were living? That's sort of the question. Or could you use this period of suspended animation to reassess and make some changes? These are questions Dr. Stephen Barnes is asking, except he's asking them about the entire state of Louisiana. Dr. Barnes is director of the Kathleen Babineau Blanco Public Policy Center at the University of Louisiana at Lafayette. And he's a member of the Louisiana Revenue Estimating Conference, a government panel that determines income projections that create the state budget. So, Dr. Barnes, I'd really like to sort of just jump into it here. The Revenue Estimating Conference will meet in May, as I understand it, to forecast how much money the legislature can spend. You know, oil prices went negative yesterday for the first time ever. Sales tax revenue is cratered across the board. Just for perspective, the mayor here in Lafayette told us yesterday to expect a 35% decrease in sales tax collection for the city of Lafayette. And that translates to millions in decreased revenue here. The state budget relies on sales tax, income tax, and oil revenues to pay the bills. I mean, how much do you expect the state budget will actually shrink?
Well, you've covered a very good brief summary of what has been a remarkably tumultuous and fast-moving economic picture. And I've certainly been working hard over the last month or so to track as closely as possible just how much this is taking a toll on the economy and working with some of the other economists in Louisiana to try to bring together a robust perspective on what the potential might be in terms of the real depth of this and how long this will last. This is going to be an event that really sets a new watermark for economic challenges and fiscal disruption. Just looking back at what is one of the biggest standout disruptions in recent memory of Katrina, we saw about a 9% drop in employment over a period of about 4 months following Katrina. Fortunately, we also moved into a massive rebuilding program, which helped both recover jobs and bring new dollars into the state's economy and the state's budget. What we're looking at over the last several weeks with unemployment claims translates into closer to 17% of the state's economy having already stood up and filed unemployment claims. So we're looking at something that's much deeper than that. And the duration of this is still to be determined. So we're working hard to try to pin down what this might mean for the state budget, but it's certainly going to be a significantly different picture toward the end of this fiscal year and looking ahead to next fiscal year than what we thought we were looking at just a month and a half ago.
I'm curious if you could just walk us through a little bit what the math actually looks like, and not necessarily in the sense of like what the numbers would be, but I mean, it's not necessarily obvious to me what variables you're plugging in to really benchmark this when you're making this kind of forecast in normal times, much less during a pandemic.
Well, it's important to look at the state's budget and the revenues on an individual basis, because some of those revenue streams are very closely tied to the economy. Some will be very closely tied to specific sectors, such as oil and gas related revenues, while other revenue streams have a weaker relationship and may not move as much. So looking at them on a case-by-case basis is certainly important. And we know that some of those, such as severance taxes and royalties, immediately will drop in a big way because of what we're seeing with the price of oil. And that's a relationship that's a bit more direct and something that we can anticipate with greater accuracy. As we move to other sources of revenue, another big one being sales taxes, we've seen massive changes in consumption, in purchasing habits. Unfortunately, a lot of that has meant a shift away from taxable purchases towards untaxable purchases with food at home and other essential purchases from grocery stores. So that's kept some businesses active, but is still going to translate to a larger impact on that revenue stream. Whereas other revenue streams, while we've seen a lot of people beginning to file for unemployment benefits, and certainly some families are feeling a huge impact from this event on their own budgets, the broader tax base for the income tax is something that doesn't move quite as rapidly over time. And so it's important to look at those carefully, and that's something we're still very much in the thick of that. And the two economists that really crunch the numbers for the REC, Greg Albrecht and Manfred Dix, I know have been working very hard on that, and will continue to try to bring in the latest data points that we can on where we think the economy is and where it's headed to bring that together for that next REC meeting.
Back years ago was that they said that the every dollar change in the price of oil translated to, was it $13 million to the budget? Is that still about what the number is?
That's a reasonable approximation. I think that's a number that's certainly been going down over time. And as we look back over a period of decades, we've seen a very dramatic shift in the state's reliance on oil and gas revenues. Now, that industry continues to be an incredibly important economic driver for the state. So even outside of severance taxes, royalties, and other oil and gas revenues, what's happening in the oil and gas industry is certainly going to take its toll more broadly on the economy, and that will ripple through to affect sales taxes, income taxes, and many of those other revenue streams as well.
Stephen, do we hedge our oil position? In other words, kind of lock in prices for a portion of it?
From a state budget standpoint, there are some provisions that'll relate to kind of set determined prices, but some of those revenues are drawn based on the actual transaction prices. So it varies depending on those revenue streams. Certainly the degree to which that has changed now is going to lead to direct impacts on those revenue streams. And the other thing that's happening is this is a big enough swing in the oil market that we're going to see significant changes in behavior among those businesses.
Dr. Barnes, Christian mentioned at the beginning, you know, that this might force us to think about new ways of doing things. I mean, when you talk about tax policy changes or some of the things, I mean, do you see this bringing forth a discussion about diversifying the economy, changing the way we do things, or the reliance, for instance, like the recession of the 80s did to our reliance on oil, you know, and gas severance taxes and royalties, and that became a much smaller part of our budget, right? So, I mean, do we see this maybe changing the way we really do business in Louisiana economically?
I think that there's no doubt that this event is going to change the way we do business in Louisiana. I think we're going to see a very large number of small changes that pervade the entire economy. So there are going to be lots of little things that retailers have to do that restaurants will start to do as they begin to reopen. And try to serve their customers in a way that was similar to what they did previously. And when we think about the importance of tourism and major events in the state's economy, I think those things will return over time, but there are going to be a lot of little things that are done differently to make them succeed and make their customers feel comfortable. But I also think this is a moment in time when we should be thinking more broadly about, you know, where are we headed as a state and how do we push the state in the right direction to really get on a path of stronger economic growth and embrace the economy of maybe it's the new 21st century, a post-2020 economy. And as I've been tracking this event and thinking about how it has already affected the economy, I think in many ways we've seen this rapidly accelerate some underlying trends that were already there. So we've talked a lot over the last 10 and even 20 years about how technology continues to work its way into different pockets of the economy and change the nature of work. Here we are all today doing what has been a live in-person radio show entirely over the internet. That's not necessarily going to be the new normal for all things, but I do think that as we move on the other side of this, we're going to see a different balance between doing things the way that we always had done before and an even greater embrace of how we can use technology to stay productive in a variety of different settings. So I think this is definitely going to be a window of time where we see an accelerated pace of change We've got hundreds of thousands of people who are out of work today who are going to be rethinking, what do I want to do in the next chapter of my career? So I think it's also very important as a state, despite the challenging budgetary environment, that we find a way to get those folks re-engaged in the education and training system, and get that important part of our workforce retooled and retrained, because some of them won't have jobs to go back to. For those that can get back to work quickly, that's great. We want to get them re-engaged in the economy as quickly as possible. But we need to make sure we've got wide open doors to the education and training system so that we can get folks retooled and focus people in a direction that's going to be productive for the next 10 to 20 years.
Dr. Barnes, you mentioned the changes in the economy for less brick and mortar, more online sales. Does the state get revenue on online sales?
The state does get revenue from the bulk of online sales. Large retailers for many years have been submitting sales taxes for those online sales among those that do have a presence in the state. More recently, there's been a legal case that sort of expanded that to a great degree. I think there still is some kind of cleaning up that Louisiana can do in our tax code to make sure that we're doing that in a way that is more comprehensive, because that will continue to be an important and growing part of the retail sales environment. So there's a little housekeeping there that we need to do. And again, that's one thing to add to the list that of issues that need to be dealt with right now, as we see this as a challenging time, but also as a moment of opportunity to rethink how we're doing things and make sure that we're doing things as well as possible.
And Dr. Barnes, do we have any feel for how long this goes? I mean, like with respect to the industrial construction projects that were going to propel our economic growth for the next couple of years, they're now saying, don't look for anything till 2024. I mean, as the revenue estimating conference begins to meet and everything, are y'all looking that far out? How long does this go on for?
The future is always uncertain, but I think now perhaps more than it has been in many, many years, there is no doubt that we'll start to see some of the currently idled or slower segments of the economy begin to come back online over the next several months. So I do see us starting to get things moving again fairly quickly, but it's going to be a slow and bumpy process. I think we have to be very careful, because if we're looking out 6 to 12 months from now, it's going to be very important that we've got things that we've got high consumer confidence and high business confidence, because those are the things that are going to get people back to the marketplace. Those are going to be the things that help give businesses the confidence and the comfort in moving forward with larger scale industrial projects. And to do that, we know we need to get things moving again, but we want to be careful to do that in a way that's not pushing faster than where the healthcare system needs to be and the guidance that we're getting from public health officials. So I know everybody's eager to get things moving again quickly, and I think, you know, things will start to move fairly soon, but it is going to be a slow and bumpy process.
So it's economics is an uncertain science for an even more uncertain time. Dr. Barnes, thanks so much for your time and best of luck to you.
Thank you.
Dr. Stephen Barnes is director of the Kathleen Babineau Blanco Public Policy Center at the University of Louisiana at Lafayette and a member of the State of Louisiana Revenue Estimating Conference. Dr. Barnes, thank you so much for joining us in Out to Lunch, Louisiana.
You're listening to a special edition of Out to Lunch, Louisiana with Christian Mader in Lafayette, Stephanie Regal in Baton Rouge, and I'm Peter Ricciuti in New Orleans. As Stephanie mentioned earlier, there are now about 20 million people in the U.S. right now who have lost their jobs. That is an extremely high number, but it's not everybody. The total size of the U.S. workforce is over 157 million. Companies who remain open through this crisis are hiring. Reportedly, Amazon is still looking after already hiring 100,000 people, and Walmart is aiming to hire 150,000. Here in Louisiana, workforce recruiters are actively looking for people to fill positions. One of those recruiters is Henry Shurtles. Henry is partner and vice president of OneSource Professional Search. On the company's website, there's a homepage message that says, "We've weathered multiple economic and natural disasters during our 17 years in business, each time emerging stronger, and are confident that our trusted client partners and candidates will do the same." Henry, we're all looking for good employment news right now. Based on your experience, who in Louisiana might really emerge economically or financially stronger from the crisis, and how are they doing it?
There's some companies benefiting from this. I think the IT staffing companies are doing well. People that are working remotely, we're all working in our homes, most of us. The company, we have a defense contractor that's budgeting, and they are proceeding with hiring multiple positions. We have on the North Shore, we have a design firm that designs parts for the paper industry, and they are hiring at a rapid pace because that industry is, you know, is under a lot of strain and growth. We have some engineering firms that are continuing to hire. Some of those are technical positions. Some of them are finance and accounting positions. So while the market is relatively soft, there are firms out there that are hiring.
Henry, are the jobs that you all are seeking to fill now, do you think those are one-offs, or are they sort of leftover openings from before this whole pandemic crisis started, or are they really new opportunities that have arisen in the past 5 weeks?
Stephanie, I think it's a mixed bag, and I think it's some of these are budgeted positions that we were already, our clients were already had planned for and important positions, and we have a company that has a transportation manager role that they felt was very important. So they are now progressing that with three candidates. And in lieu of an on-site interview, they're doing their second interviews, which is typically on-site, by Zoom, and then they'll make a decision. So some of them are one-off. Some of them will be contract short-term. Some of these will be new positions, new opportunities that are created. It was, I'm thinking back to post-Katrina when my partner and I were working and things were in turmoil, mainly here in the Southeast, but it dislocated a lot of workers. And I think you're going to see that as well this time. And so a lot of companies were backfilling positions because people had moved, relocated for different reasons. So I think we're optimistic that there will be really good jobs out there.
Henry Shirls is partner and vice president of One Source Professional Search. Henry, thanks so much for joining us on Out to Lunch Louisiana.
My pleasure.
And thank you for joining us for this special edition of Out to Lunch Louisiana. We edited these conversations to fit into the time slot here on your NPR radio station. You can hear longer versions of these conversations wherever you normally get your Out to Lunch podcast. If you're not an Out to Lunch podcast subscriber, search for Out to Lunch, Out to Lunch Baton Rouge, or Out to Lunch Acadiana on your podcast app. The producer of our show is Grant Morris. Our technical director is Eric Merle. Photos from this show on our website and social media are taken by Jill LaFleur. I'm Stephanie Regal in Baton Rouge.
I'm Peter Ricciuti in New Orleans.
And I'm Christian Mader in Lafayette. We'll see you back here next week for more Out to Lunch Louisiana. Till then, if you work in an essential industry and are still reporting for duty, thank you. And remember to take care of yourself. If you're not going to work, please stay home and stay safe.
Major support for Out to Lunch is provided by the law firm of Jones Walker, established in 1937 with over 375 attorneys in offices throughout the U.S., providing a comprehensive range of services to a local, national, and international client base. JonesWalker.com. And by Hancock Whitney, with more than 120 years of experience helping clients protect the financial future they deserve, even in these challenging times. Hancock Whitney, your dream, our mission. And by Shorten Associates, legal recruiters in Louisiana and Texas. Mitchell Foreman wrote and performs all the music on Out to Lunch. You can hear Mitchell's music anywhere great jazz is sold or streamed, and at MitchellForeman.com.
We all make mistakes in life. See to have a Monkey La Dania Franco Mix CLK to make Cute this Thursday at 9 p.m. seulement sur KRVS week point set avec Drake Benoit Blanc. It's a formidable.
These are weird times. And the best way to pass weird times is with weird friends. But where to find one?
Well, you're in luck, because on the next Snap Judgment, we proudly present Buds. BFFs, soulmates, comrades at arms, Snap Judgment. Storytelling with the B. Do not miss it.
Coming up tonight at 10 on KRVS.
Vous êtes à l'écoute de KRVS 88.7 FM Lafayette-Lac-Charles. This is public radio for Acadiana.